Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Welcome, dear kinswomen and kinsmen. Welcome to the show. I hope you're learning a lot in all the shows I've put out, many shows this week. And it's my pleasure to do so. Well, I started the day early and went out there and did 4 hours of lawn work. I still have about 45 minutes or an hour left, which I'll probably do tomorrow. It's beautiful, the beautiful days out there. I mean, lately we've had some real, real nice weather. And I'm very thankful to the Father. When He gives us rain, I'm thankful to Him as well. You know, sometimes this place gets lots of rain. Sometimes it doesn't get rain, you know, enough. It's just depends on the year, depends on the time. It's just the way it is. But it's beautiful, you know. The weather is just so beautiful, and the view is beautiful, and so on and so forth. And I've cleared the land, and I'm filling holes in, and I'm pulling small trees down. There's all kinds of little trees and thorns and everything that got to be taken down. But I'm really getting places. I moved, you know, by, you know, wheelbarrow and so on and so forth, a whole pile of dirt from, you know, to different places. When you go over the lawnmower, over the thing, and there's a hole, you go, woo, boom, you know, so you have to fill those holes. So I'm working on it, and it's very exciting to accomplish these types of things. I consider this to be the Father's land and the Father's house, and I am a steward here to take care of this. And so that's what I do, and I take great pleasure in that. I've become somewhat of a farmer. Not quite yet. Believe me, you wouldn't believe how much work it is to be a farmer. And I don't do as much as when you have animals, it's a lot of work. And one of our brothers, a dear brother in Minnesota, he sent me some help, and he's a very nice fellow. I appreciate him very much, and it's nice to talk to him. And he has a farm and many different types of animals and all kinds of things. And we were talking about people who eat pig. And he told me several testimonies of people that were sick and they stopped eating pig, and within a short amount of time, they gradually started getting better and better until they were healthy. So there is something to this pig thing, eating pig. It will help you to be sick. The Father knows best. You know that the Father, he didn't tell us to do that as a religious thing. People think that that's a religious thing, like, oh, we can't eat pig because it's a religious duty. It has nothing to do with that. It's a land cleaner. In other words, he tells you not to eat carrion birds too, right? Why? Because these birds are there to clean up the land. If you eat all of them, who's going to clean up the land? Not only that, they're eating things that are, dead. You dig? See, he made those things for a purpose. They're not to be eaten. This is just something that's very simple to understand. So I got in and had a little breakfast with Miss Elke. Took a shower, and here I am speaking to you. And, I'd like to thank Nick, Farron, and David for their recent donations. As I always say, thank you to all of you that have helped me, whether it's in the past, in the present, or if you'll help me in the future. Thank you so much. It's wonderful, especially for somebody like me, because the world has never cared about me, or even my own parents really didn't care about me. And this isn't a sob story, but I'm saying it. Just understand what I mean. It's nice to know that I have brothers and sisters that care about me. You know what I mean? You know I'm not into all these feelings and all this stuff. I'm not a cold, I'm not, against feelings, but you know what I'm talking about. We need to control them. But I must say that it's a wonderful thing. Many of our people tell me that they don't have any fellowship. And I'll tell you something that I know to be true, that I've never had better friends than I have now. I've had very few friends in my life. You know, sometimes you ruin a friendship, sometimes they ruin a friendship. You know, we all do these things. But I never had a lot of friends. And I still wouldn't say I have quite a lot of friends, but I have more than I've ever had before, and they're real friends. I've never had such friends, and I thank the Father for that. Ask him, and he'll give you friends too. Everybody likes to talk about things with like-minded people, and by the way, this morning I was so busy that I wasn't able to answer the emails right away and this and that. So, I apologize. Don't worry about think I'm dissing you if I don't answer you immediately right away. I mean, I am trying to reach goals. I've reached so many goals in the last few weeks. I've learned how to do electrical work where I've been making, taking an extension cord and putting a metal quad receptacle box together. And I've done a few of those, and I've also put some quads in the house because I require many plugs, you know what I mean? And so it's interesting. It's really not that complicated, but you have to keep you have to pay attention. So I learned how to do that. It's amazing the things I'm able to do. Like, I would try to tell you and encourage you that don't be afraid of learning something new. I don't care how old you are. I don't know if it's true about dogs or not, that you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but they try to use that for the human condition. You know, I shouldn't say human because that's colored man, but for the condition of man, you know, don't try to teach an old man new tricks. I mean, you know, God forbid you'd keep learning for the rest of your life and accomplishing new things and stuff like that. I mean, just give up totally and say, I got an excuse. You can't teach an old man new tricks. Well, I know I'm not a dog, and I know you aren't, unless you're a Negro, and I'm not my audience. I don't talk to Negroes. I'm not interested in Negroes. They call each other dog, and the females call each other bitch, which is a dog, a female dog. Yeah, no, that's not a swear, but, you know, basically bitch is a female dog. So they know what they are, believe me. But don't be afraid to learn things. Sometimes it takes practice to learn, to get good at something. Some things come natural. I mean, that they do for me. See, I knew I wanted to be an electrician. I told you this story before. And I'd be good at this. And I am good at it. I'm not an expert yet or anything like that. I don't know if I ever will be an expert, but I'm certainly capable. And so, you know, it really helps because you can do things in your home that will really help you to, you know, have sufficient things. You know, I heard about somebody a long time ago. Somebody told me about these people that they never fix anything. They live with problems for years and never do anything. For instance, there was one such type of people that I heard about that the doorknob had fallen off the door and fallen on the floor. And instead of picking it up and putting it back on and taking a screwdriver and turn it a couple of turns, they just lived with it like that. And they begin to have to take the doorknob, you know how it slips out, right? To open up the doors, they took out the doorknob out of that door to go to the next door to open it. It got that crazy. I don't understand why people would want to live that way. I'd fix that in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if you have a ship, you know, you take care of it. You don't let it rust out on you. You don't let it, you know, you just take pride in, see, this isn't like a bad pride. You take pride in your ship. You know, like I take pride in the Father's land here. I want to make it better. You know, and so it's just that simple. Don't be afraid of fixing things. People will live with things for years. Problems that are simple that can be fixed within minutes. Anyway, we better get going on the show. I'll just let it run a little longer. That's all. Let me take a sip of my iced coffee if you don't mind. I'm just talking with you, you know. I don't know, you know, maybe we could all, I do talk to some people on Skype, and if we could, you know, all have a channel on Skype that we could use and we could have fellowship on Skype, we wouldn't have to always email. Skype is, you know, I don't care if they're listening and watching. I couldn't care less what they know and what they think. Because they're useless. So in other words, so what if they know, if they listen on Skype? I don't care. You know what I mean? So if we all could say join, you know, say if I had people join my Skype channel, I have couple of brothers and a sister on that channel so far. And we could learn how to, have a little place where people could just chat with each other. You know, I wouldn't be on it at all times, and nobody else, I don't know if anyone else would be either, but we'd be able to have a little fellowship that way. Share some articles, share some videos, share a few laughs, I don't know. If you're interested in that, let's see if we can get something like that going. You know, like a DJB chat, something like that. So, to the Red Network, yes. Last week we left off on page 26. Boy, is it something else. It really is something else. What measures these people will go to destroy us all? It's like, to me, I just say, that's a waste of time. I'm not interested. I'm going to live my life. I'm not interested in destroying people. You know. Anyway, we're on page 26 of The Red Network by Elizabeth Dilling. Socialist Party and Religion. Remember last week the equation, I'll remind you, all of us, that they said that religion is not compatible with communism. And I knew that Rabbi Wise said that communism is Judaism. Now, Judaism is supposed to be a religion, isn't it? But that's the secret. If communism is not compatible with religion, that's the proof that Judaism is not a religion. Because communism is Judaism. And Judaism is not compatible with Christianity either. And yet we have Judeo-Christianity, which I have dubbed the Jewish version of Christianity. It certainly isn't the real version of Christianity, is it? It's Judaized, thanks to the Apostle Paul. So, and the Catholic Church, Mother Babylon. So, you know, this is very interesting. The 1908 convention of the Socialist Party adopted a plank in its platform which stated, quote, "The socialist movement is primarily an economic and political movement." Let me stop right there immediately. The socialist movement is primarily an economic and political movement. Well, that's what Islam is. It's not an economic, but it's a political movement. You see? It's not a religion, really. I mean, it's, these false religions. I guess Islam is more of a religion than Judaism, because Judaism is not a religion at all. It's a criminal worldwide cartel in the guise of a religion. That's important to remember that at all times. Because the world is believing that Christianity spawned out of Judaism. No, 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 no. Never did, never can, never will. There are two opposing forces. You see? So, it is not concerned with the institutions of marriage and religion, speaking of the Socialist Party. Agnostic Victor Berger backed this plank, as did Unterman, delegate from Idaho, who started off his speech in its favor by declaring himself to be a thorough atheist, but argued, "Would you expect me to go out among the people of this country people of different churches, of many different religious factions, and tell them they must become atheists before they can become socialists? That would be nonsense. We must first get these men convinced of the rationality of our economic and political program. Our. Get it? Arthur M. Lewis, you know what that kind of name is, don't you? Oh, it's a Scottish... No, it isn't. It may have... Everyone I've ever seen that's named Lewis, except for one person, is a Jew. Arthur M. Lewis, delegate from Illinois, who opposed this plank, stated, "I know that the socialist position in the question of religion does not make a good campaign subject. Therefore, I'm willing that we should be quiet about it. But if we must speak, I propose that we shall go before this country with the truth and not with the lie. I do not propose to state in this platform the truth about religion from the point of view of the socialist philosophy, as it is stated in almost every book of the standard socialist literature. But if we do not do that, let us at least have the good grace to be silent about it and not make hypocrites of ourselves." Yeah, well, the official proceedings of this convention quote Morris Hillquit as saying that 99% of socialists were agnostics. Lusk Report, page 1127. What do we see right there, 1127? What do you see in that? What, 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 what? As Binghamton used to say, what, McHale. Right? 11 and 2 and 7 is 9. 11, 9, 9, 11. The International Socialist Review at the time said, "Religion spells death to socialism." Did you hear that? Religion spells death to socialism, just as socialism to religion. So in other words, socialism spells death to religion. The thinking socialists are all free thinkers. The New Yorker, Volkszeitung, later said, "Socialism is logical only when it denies the existence of God." Let me stop right there. Now, I've spoken about this many times, that supposedly the devil taught this Darwin fellow this thing of Darwinism, which means we all come from monkeys and there is no God. Communism would not fly without that aspect. It needed that aspect to be able to go forward. And that's exactly, so what it's saying to you is exactly what it's saying right here. That's why I mentioned it. Religion spells death to socialism, you see. So in other words, Darwinism would speak life to socialism because religion is opposed to socialism. See, Marx was told to create this as the antithesis to Christianity or capitalism. So there you have it. If religion spells death to socialism, then anti-religious stuff like Darwinism, that we came from monkeys and there is no God, that would speak life to socialism. You see what I'm saying? See, there's your proof about it. You know, like I've said this before, and maybe people might have said, "Well, how do you know that?" You know, let me, well, there you go. That's how you know it. And I didn't know that this was coming right now, but see, when I see these things, I like to take the time to show you that when I say things, I'm not just, you know, making things up. There will be times when these things are proven over and over again and reproved. So let's continue. "Religion spells death." This is a quote by this fellow, Morris Hillquit. "Religion spells death to socialism, just as socialism to religion." The thinking socialists are all free thinkers. Socialism is logical only when it denies the existence of God. See? Socialism is the predecessor to communism, just as democracy is the predecessor to socialism. And this isn't national socialism. That's a different thing. In 1912, the Socialist Party Convention dropped this plank and adopted a resolution on our attitude toward the church, quote unquote, in which this language appears, quote, "The ethics of socialism and religion are directly opposed to each other." There's ethics in socialism? Again, listen to this quote. "The ethics of socialism and religion are directly opposed to each other." See, in other words, you could just say the ethics of communism and religion are directly opposed to each other. Same, it's just a progression. That's why they call them progressives, because they're progressing. The Democratic Party is called the Progressive Party because, even, like I told you, Saul Alinsky said, we don't need a communist party in America. The Democrat Party is the communist party in America. See, they're progressing from democracy to socialism to full-blown communism. It's always gradualism. I had read a book or read some part of a book years ago about Satan. And one of Satan's greatest tools, of course, is gradualism. I've said this many times anyway, but, you know, it's people don't see these things happening because they happen slowly, by increments. Like the Stooges said, I'll mention this again and again, and it's funny, it's very apropos. "Slowly I turn, inch by inch, step by step, and then he attacks the fellow." You see, just like a cat, that's how a cat hunts. Remember I talked about the cats going after the birds and how they hunch down real low and they get up on their tippy toes in the back paws and they kind of move inch by inch very slowly, and the birds don't see any type of movement, yet something's changing, but they just don't notice it. Now, if the cat had just jumped right out, they all would fly away. They'd notice it. But since the cat was stealthy and began to progress very, very slowly, inch by, and it's literally inch by inch, step by step, until it pounces. And usually, not always, but it will catch the bird. Because the bird gets caught up in living and enjoying itself and eating. It's not thinking about predators at all times. Yes, they know there are predators, but, you know, sometimes you're just living and you're not thinking about predators. A lot of the sheeple, the people that we're screaming to them to wake up, and they're still eating, and the foxes and wolves are ready to tear them apart, but they're still eating. They're not interested. But until the dog locks his jaw right onto the sheep and pulls it to the ground. So, it says, see official proceedings, National Convention held at Indianapolis, Indiana, May 12th to 18th, 1912, pages 247 and 8, 248. The May 9th, 1920 Socialist Party Convention adopted a, quote, "declaration of principles," which urged complete separation of church and state and allowed freedom of conscience to worship or not as one pleased. At the same time, David Berenberg of Socialist Rand School reported to the Socialist Party International Executive Committee on the book to be published that August, by the Socialist Schools Publishing Association, connected with the Rand School. It was entitled, quote, "Socialist Sunday school curriculum, unquote. I'm letting you think about that. Socialist Sunday school curriculum. See, what's wrong with that picture already? Well, socialism's not compatible with religion. Then why would it be a Sunday school curriculum? See? The Lusk Report sums it up in its review by saying, the purpose of this book was to inculcate in the minds of children from a very early age a distrust in the government of this country as now constituted, a belief that religion is one of the instruments invented by capitalists for the oppression of workers to lead them to accept the revolutionary principles of the socialist movement. Page 1791. Very, very, very interesting. The Socialist Educational Society of New York more recently published a pamphlet entitled, and remember this is back in 36, right? Socialism and Religion, quote unquote. Very interesting, huh? It was sold at the Rand School Bookstore, 7 East 15th Street, the same address at which the official socialist weekly New Leader, quote-unquote, is published, mouthpiece of the clever Reverend Norman Thomas and his fellows. Reverend. The Communist Socialist Reverend. In the preface of the Socialist Educational Society, it says, our position is clear, quote, this is a quote, our position is clear, there can be no compromise between socialism and religion, unquote. Chapter headings include the exodus of religion, quote, that's a quote, the exodus of religion. Another quote is the materialist explanation of society, and another quote, quackery and confusion. The booklet sums up its point of view on the last page with the statement, here's another quote, listen, the decay of religion is indeed a measure of the advance of humanity, unquote. The decay, you see, humanity, hue, colored man, beast of the field. See, Jews are colored men. Right? And so are all the beasts of the field. They're human. You know, in Photoshop, when you have a hue, you can change the hue of something. And you can change it to green or yellow or any of the different colors. You don't change the hue of white to white. So get this, the decay of religion is indeed a measure of the advance of colored man. Yeah, it sure is. Herr Bebel, German socialist leader and classic socialist writer, announced in the German Reichstag that his party aimed, quote, in the domain of economics at socialism and in the domain of what is called religion at atheism, unquote, March 31st, 1881. And again he said, quote, Christianity and socialism stand toward each other as fire and water. And I'll finish the thing first. Christianity is the enemy of liberty. That's a lie. And civilization. That's a lie. It has kept mankind in slavery and oppression. That's a lie. But I'll explain to you very quickly what I see here. And it's, this guy knows what he's talking about. See, I've told you that we are the children of the water. We will drink the water of life. Because we must be born of water and spirit. But I've told you about the children of the flame. They came from the flame and they will return to the flame. So in this, just let's do a little guess in this quotation, which is which? Christianity and socialism stand toward each other as fire and water. You see, Christianity is the water, and socialism is the fire. Remember again the witch from The Wizard of Oz. She was a child of the flame. And when water was poured on her, it was anti-witchery. You understand what I mean? It was totally against her. It destroyed her. It killed her. See? Again, let me read it again what this fellow said. Christianity and socialism stand toward each other as fire and water. Christianity is the enemy of liberty and civilization. It has kept mankind in slavery and oppression. Now, let me stop right there. See, when you're talking about the liberty to be a queer, that's true. Christianity is the enemy of that kind of liberty. But you see, I've also told you that when we as a nation of Israelites obey the Father's laws, that produces liberty. Right? Yes. So does that mean when we all follow the Father's law and that produces liberty, that's the enemy of civilization? And keeping man in slavery and oppression, is that what Christianity does? That's what Judeo-Christianity does, yeah. But you see, obeying the Father's laws produces true liberty. The liberty from the devil, liberty, equality, and fraternity, brotherhood, that's not the same liberty. I keep trying to, explain that. See, the liberal, it's a deception to call somebody a liberal. It's deceiving. Because somebody that was, say if I wanted you to, give me a piece of cake, and I said, be real liberal with it, I'd like a very nice large piece. That's how liberal is thought of. It's thought to be a positive thing where, you're generous. But the liberals that we're talking about are not generous. Only generous with your destruction and generous with the colored man, the advance of humanity, you see? Because it said here again, the decay of religion, indeed, it is indeed a measure of the advance of humanity, colored man. So as religion decays and goes away, now human rights advance. You see? Human rights. Not man's rights, but human's rights. Is it all coming together for you there? You see, because we know in the Constitution that the only man was the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Nordic, and Germanic peoples. You see? There were no humans there. They were known as three-fifths of a man. In other words, not even a full man. Human. All these, it's a religion, it's a gospel that the Jew preaches about human rights. Woman's rights. These are gospels of the devil's children. See, because colored man, humanity, humanity, has rights. And those rights are being declared to white man and the Father in heaven. The establishment of the Father's kingdom in heaven and the earthly establishment, the Israelite nations. That's who they're declaring these rights to. I hope that you can see that that's true, because it is. I couldn't explain it any better than that. I think that that really solidly explains what's really going on in this world. They have whole organizations dedicated to humans' rights. Human. You notice how when they're talking about human's rights, that white man is not included in those rights. You understand? See, now you know why. Because they're not declaring your or my rights. They're declaring colored man. And the Jew is a colored man. They're not really men. They're beasts of the field. They're sub-races. Human. That's what it's all about, folks. And, you know, I don't need to prove anything more than that. That spells it right out to the T. Next time you hear somebody saying, talking about humans' rights, you'll understand what's going on. It's not you, man. It's human. So, today the works of atheists Lenin, Trotsky, Scott Nearing, Robert W. Dunn, etc., are recommended in Standard Socialist Literature, CLID, as are the little blue books of socialism, quote-unquote, of socialist Haldeman Julius, which are also recommended by the socialist Christian Social Action Movement. Have you ever heard of this? Yeah, it's headquartered in the Methodist Church in Chicago. It's the, quote, unquote, Christian Social Action Movement. To quote the National Republic of September 1933, here's the quote. In January, the radical and filthy-minded Haldeman Julius launched a new publication, his pockets already overflowing with gold collected through the sales of his various socialist, communist, sex, trial marriage, atheist, and birth control propaganda periodicals and pamphlets. The new publication known as The Militant Atheist was begun in January with a circulation of 1,540. The September number had reached 4,051, a gain of 2,511 subscribers within only 8 months. This sacrilegious sheet, the size of a daily newspaper, is edited by E. Haldeman Julius and Reverend Joseph McCabe. It contains ballyhoo articles on atheism, on Russia, on Professor Einstein. Professor, yes. On Karl Marx, on revolution, and derides Catholicism, Protestantism, the church, and God himself. Among books, you know, let me stop right there, you see, because I told you I worked with this girl, and she said, I think it's time we give communism, you know, a chance, a try, you know, and see how it works. You know what I mean? They don't understand that it's godless. They don't understand. People don't know what it is. And they know something's wrong with democracy, but they don't know that communism is the progression of democracy. They don't understand because they weren't taught anything in school like that. And they, when I tried to talk to this woman about anything, she's one of the nicest women, but she was one of these people that wanted to hide her head in the sand. Oh, I hear no evil. I see no evil. I speak no evil. I know nothing. I don't want to know anything. It'll go away. Don't worry. Why don't we give communism a try? I think it's time. If only she knew what communism was, she wouldn't be saying she wanted to give it a try. And I think that's the case all over the world, because the Jew has control over the words. See, if you control the media, and you control Hollywood, and you control the papers, and you control the radio, and you control the pastors, and you control, you're controlling what people hear all the time. You're controlling the narrative. That's what the Apostle Paul was sent to do. Take control over the narrative. They couldn't kill Jesus Christ and stop Christianity like they had done with other people previously. They killed the leader and the movement died. This time it worked the opposite. Then they said, well, we'll kill the disciples. But you see, it didn't work. It produced the opposite thing. And that's not funny, by the way, to kill the disciples. Because they've killed a lot of our brothers and sisters. And it seems to always produce the opposite thing. That must be the way the Father willed it to be. And so the only other thing, you just have to think of it logically, the only other thing you could do, if you can't kill the leaders of the movement and stop the movement, then you have to join the movement and take over the narrative. That's what the Apostle Paul did. This is what the Jews do all the time today. So it's one of their modus operandi. It's pure, this is exactly what they do. It works. They do it over and over and over again. They took over the Nazi party. They took over the Tea Party. It's just crazy. It's crazy. But it happens every time. Because people are not Jew savvy. They don't know when somebody comes in and he looks white or she looks white. They have no idea because they don't even know what white people look like anymore. There's many people you see in your life all the time that you think are white that are simply not white. You have to train to be able to understand who's white. And nobody's always going to be fully 100% accurate either. Only the Father knows totally. But with skull shape and certain kinds of traits and knowing them by their fruits and last names and all kinds of things, you can find out pretty quickly who is who and who is Jew. And if you don't know about the Italians and you don't know about half of the people down in South America and you don't know about that Ishmael has disappeared and you don't know about all these things that all these Jews have race mixed with every single race on the earth, then you don't know. You don't understand the world around you. Because I didn't understand it. And I'm not saying I fully understand it, but I'll tell you what, I understand it a lot better than I used to. I had no idea anything about the Jew at all when I was young. I knew I didn't care about the Jew, but I knew that I told you I had a friend that was a Jew, and his mother asked me what my racial properties were, and pretty soon I had no friend anymore. It happened very quickly. So that's about, you know, how much I come to understand these things when I was, you know, hindsight. You look at things that happened in your life, and once you find out all the things that we're finding out now, all of a sudden you're able to decipher your past. Did you notice that? Did you notice that the more you find that you're learning today through my shows and through, you know, whatever avenues the Father has you learning in, you ever notice how now all of a sudden you begin to look in your past and you say, geez, I had this Jew and I had this one and this girlfriend. You know, I had a Jewish girlfriend a long time ago and her mother wanted her to marry me. You know what I mean? Now, she looked white, but I didn't know she wasn't white. I mean, she looked as white could be, but she had the Jewish traits. But I didn't know that. So, you know, I knew I didn't want to marry her, so the Father at least took care of that, you know, and praise him for such a thing. So, it's strange stuff, man. This world is strange, but I'll tell you, as I've looked, now that I know what I know, and I've looked in my past, and we have brothers and sisters I've talked to that have begun to look in their past and say, now understand things. That they didn't know that they were surrounded by Jews. They didn't know who the Italians are and the difference between Italians and Italians. There's a big difference. So, amazing. Among books sold and recommended by Socialist Party headquarters in 1932 and 33 are Socialism, the Utopia of Science, quote unquote. Let me stop right there. The rabbis always wanted proof, right? Yes, Dr. Frankenstein. Yes. So think about those things. Socialism, the Utopia of Science by Engels. He was the one that wrote with Karl Marx. They're both Jews. In which he says, quote, nowadays in our revolutionary conception of the universe, there is absolutely no room for either a creator or ruler. That's incredible. English edition, 1901, page 17. Let me read that again. Let this sink into you. Ready for this? Nowadays, in our revolutionary conception of the universe, there is absolutely no room for either a creator or ruler. In other words, there is no Yahweh. We came from monkeys. That's what I was talking about, that Darwin was taught this by the devil, supposedly, literally taught this by the devil. Just like I believe the Apostle Paul's gospel was taught to Paul by the devil in the caves of Arabia for 3 years. In order to produce, and who knows how much longer this lie will go on, how much longer can this Judeo-Christian lie, this amalgamation that should not mix. They can't mix together. They can't, oil and water don't mix. You can stir them around and they can look like they mixed for a little bit, amalgamate or whatever you want to call it, emulsify. But the oil will separate from the water, just like gasoline will separate from the water. So you can see that communism is godless, right? Because there's no room for a creator or ruler in communism. Socialism in Thought and Action by Harry W. Lader, LID, student lecturer, in which he says, the philosophy of socialism is itself diametrically opposed to the principles of revealed religion. I'm going to read it again. Quote, unquote. The philosophy of socialism is itself diametrically opposed to the principles of revealed religion, page 155. The Communist Manifesto, quote-unquote, of atheists Marx and Engels, admittedly the Bible, quote-unquote, and foundation of socialism. See, it's the antithesis of the Bible, just as the Talmud, the books of the Talmud are the antithesis of our scriptures, you see? The Communist Manifesto is called the Bible of Communism. And I told you, this proves to you that they were set out, they were told to create. Marx wasn't making any money, he needed money. So he was put up to this. And a Jew would sell out your soul or anyone else's soul for a dime because it's so filthy, this filthy thing in this world. So, it's diametrically opposed to the principles of revealed religion. Communist Manifesto of Atheists, Marx and Engels, they're atheists, godless idiots. Admittedly, the Bible and foundation of socialism, a new edition with adornments by socialist leaders, is now advertised as a very convenient handbook, Karl Marx. An essay by Harold J. Lasky with the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx, and Friedrich Engels. With introduction by Norman Thomas, Student Outlook, May 1933, etc., etc. The two friends of mine attended a public socialist meeting at Highland Park, held in behalf of the candidacy of Norman Thomas and Reverend Roy Burt, a Methodist minister in good standing and connected with worldwide Methodist religious education. As they entered, they were given a copy of America for All, quote unquote, and all is capitalized. The official socialist campaign paper, issue of August 13, 1932, and noted with surprise that under the heading, "Yes, but which shall I read?" our recommendations are, quote unquote, the first recommendation was the Communist Manifesto by Marx and Engels. The price was given as 10 cents, and the footnote said, "Send order with remittance to Socialist Party of America, 549 Randolph, Chicago." Good old Chicago. During the question period, they asked Reverend Burt, who presided and spoke, whether socialism and communism were the same. Excuse me, communism. He replied lengthily that their aims were the same, but that their methods of attainment differ. They then asked him why the socialists recommend the Communist Manifesto for reading. Burt replied that the Communist Manifesto is the basis of socialism. After reading this manifesto, a copy of which is before me, I was unable to understand how anyone could presume to be a disciple of both Christ and Marx. Since it is the Bible, quote-unquote, of socialism / communism, it is sold at all communist and socialist bookstores. It is printed in pamphlet form, about 48 pages. It was drawn up first in 1848 by Marx and Engels, later re-edited by Engels in 1888. Class hatred is, of course, the dominating note. Hatred. So who are the haters? Who are the communists? Communism is Judaism. Class hatred, of course, is the dominating note. Society is divided into two classes, proletarian and bourgeoisie, or middle class, such as small merchants and landowners. The bourgeoisie are represented throughout as the villains who exploit the proletarians. You see another division, another thesis and antithesis, and in the process of communism, they're all leveled down to the bottom. They say it would be the middle, but it really means that everybody goes to the bottom and the Jews reign at the top. So there's still two classes, but they just got rid of the middle class, you see. Isn't that what's happening in America today? Do we see the middle class? I used to be middle class, but I have no class. But I used to be lower middle class, you know, lower, not low, but, you know, bad enough. I've never been a rich man, and I don't care either. But I'm certainly in the low class now. I'm at the bottom. So that's what the way they want it. And it is because of communist things that I ended up down at the bottom. Because the communist planks were kept moving in on my business until the point where I couldn't afford to have a business anymore. That's the whole idea of it. So, the bourgeoisie are represented as villains who exploit the proletarians. But who exploits all of us, including the middle class and the lower class like me? Why, it's the Jews and the traitors. of our race, who enable the Jews to do all the things they do. That's who exploits us. Is that not true? Am I telling the truth? Of course I am. There aren't middle-class people that are exploiting lower-class people. Let's get real. So, the proletarians, or lower class, lowest class, are represented as the noble heroes who must fight to the finish for dictatorship in order to make everything equal. Uh-oh, equality, fraternity, liberty. According to Marxian argument, people are necessarily worth of ruling all society because they are poor. That's some strange thinking, huh? To quote page 20, the proletariat, quote, right? The proletariat, the lowest strata of our present society, cannot raise itself up without the whole super incumbent strata of official society being sprung into the air. The struggle of the proletariat with the bourgeoisie is at first a national struggle. The proletariat of each country must, of course, first of all settle matters with its own bourgeoisie, up to the point where that war breaks out into the open revolution and where the violent overthrow of the bourgeoisie lays the foundation for the sway of the proletariat. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to explain that real quickly. See, what they're encouraging the lower class people to do is to help them destroy the middle class. That's what's going on right now with this virus. Middle-class businesses are being destroyed. See all the dots that are right in front of you right now, connecting in your own mind? Can you imagine? We're on page 28. Geez, we didn't get very far. But we did learn an awful lot of things, didn't we? I'm pretty much amazed on what we're able to connect in just a couple of pages of this book. So we'll continue next week. Consider helping me in my work by giving a donation at davidjamesboston.com. I always give a good piece of advice at the end of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show. Don't go down the communist hole.
They bring disgrace. A man without a face. The sands of time, they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. Lines that they told erased. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man.